38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her."
A surgeon named John Harvey Gerdner wrote a book called New Yorkitis. New Yorkitis. In it, Dr. Gerdner described the symptoms of a disease called New Yorkitis that he saw afflicting people in the busy city of New York. The symptoms of New Yorkitis include nervousness, lack of impulse control, anxiety, edginess, rudeness, restlessness. Dr. Gerdner said this disease, New Yorkitis, happened because of the pace of life in the busy city of New York. Dr. Gerdner wrote that book in 1901, before the internet, before cell phones, before 24-hour news cycles and social media. I cannot imagine what Dr. Gerdner would think about the pace of life today. And not just in the cities, right? The pace of life has steadily increased everywhere. No wonder so many of us are worn out. No wonder we are tired. Friends, we were not made to keep up with the amount of information we are exposed to every day. Our minds are exhausted. Our bodies are exhausted. Our souls are exhausted. And then you show up at church and hear that there's more you need to do. Better get that hour a day for your quiet time, 2 hours for your journey group, you know, another hour of volunteering somewhere, more. And so what happens is that the very thing that's intended to breathe life into our souls, our relationship with Jesus, ends up feeling more like one more thing we don't have time for. One more thing we're just not doing well enough. One more thing we just gotta get better at. If you have ever felt that way, if you ever struggle to stay consciously aware of Jesus and his presence, if you struggle in your prayer life, I hope our conversation today is helpful for you, like it has been this week for me. Today, I wanna talk about what it looks like to be with Jesus. To experience life with Jesus, not just here or there, you know, once a day or once a week, but what would it look like to live every single moment aware of, conscious of the real presence of Jesus with us at home, at work, when we lie down, when we rise up, like the psalmist says in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" The reality is that God is with us every day, everywhere, all the time. We have never lived a moment outside God's loving presence. But we don't always experience that reality, do we? Last Sunday, we began this series called Practicing the Way. And over these next weeks, we're taking a look at what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to call ourselves disciples or apprentices. We used that word last week, apprentices. We said apprentices of Jesus do three things: be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do as Jesus did. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, do as Jesus did. Today, we're going to talk about that first one, what it looks like to be with Jesus. And we're going to learn from the examples of Mary and Martha. We're going to talk about the beauty available to us in the presence of Jesus. We're going to talk about what makes it hard for us to be in the presence of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about how we can practice being with Jesus. So let's start with the promise of what is available to us with Jesus. Luke 10, this part of the passage begins, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Mary just wanted to be with Jesus. For many reasons, sitting at Jesus' feet was the last place Mary was supposed to be in this moment. But she found herself drawn to Jesus, wanting to be with him, drawn to his voice, his teaching. And as you read the Gospels, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they each tell a different perspective of the life of Jesus. As we read through all four Gospels, you see that people are drawn to Jesus. The sick, the outcasts, the sinners, the teachers of the law, men, women, children, people wanted to be around him. There was a woman who just wanted to touch his robe in the middle of a crowd. There was a man whose four friends cut a hole in the roof of someone's house just to get their friend in front of Jesus. There were children that burst through a crowd of adults to be with Jesus, to talk to him, to laugh with him, to sit on Jesus' lap. There was just something about Jesus that drew people in. I think what drew people in has to do with what he said he came to do in the book of Luke. When he introduces his mission in Luke, this is what he says. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I think people gravitated to Jesus' presence because his very essence was good news. Good news. Are you sick? Good news. I'm bringing healing. Are you an outcast? Good news. I'm inviting you in. Are you addicted to your stuff? Good news. I'm inviting you to a life of freedom. Are you oppressed by injustice? Good news. God sees and he's coming to help. In the book of John, Jesus says he's come so that people can live life to the fullest. Jesus' very presence was good news. That's why Mary was drawn to him. In Jesus, she sensed peace, hope, love. Jesus came in the flesh to demonstrate that God's presence is good news. That's what we long for in our deepest hearts, isn't it? Good news. And that's what we were created for. We were created at the beginning, as Paul just read, in the beginning. We were created in the beginning to be with God in the Garden of Eden, to be in his presence all the time, to see him, hear him, touch him. You were made for a life lived in the continuous presence of the Creator. You were made for a life lived in the presence of good news. Sin got in the way, right? Sin disrupted the relationship we have with God. Sin made it harder for us to see God. Our continuous awareness of and fellowship with the God of good news has been disrupted. And so now, when we have those moments of connection with God, moments where we're aware of the presence of God, something about that feels like coming home. Have you ever experienced a moment like that where it was just undeniable that God was there with you? Maybe you just sensed a loving presence in a difficult place. Maybe someone spoke the exact words you needed to hear. Maybe God answered a prayer in such an amazing way that you had nothing to do except for say it must be God. Those moments are beautiful, and they feed our souls because that's what we were made for. That's what our souls long for, to be with God. Our circumstances might not change in those moments. Life might still hurt, but when we experience the presence of the living God, we experience a peace that makes no earthly sense. Peace and joy that only come from knowing we are loved and carried by the God of the universe. And so the invitation from Jesus to those who would be his apprentices is to spend more and more of our lives in conscious awareness of the Creator, to live and experience more and more of the reality that there is no place we can go outside God's presence. Jesus invites us to experience the reality of his presence just as much in the school drop-off line as we do at the communion table, just as much, you know, in a meeting at work, as you do when you're praying with your journey group. He invites us to sense his presence just as much when we're doing the dishes as when we're singing our favorite worship song here together. The practice of being with Jesus is the practice of spending more and more of our lives aware of the reality that he is with us everywhere we go, so that in every moment we enjoy the peace and joy and wisdom and hope that comes from the conscious awareness of God's presence with us. That is the promise of being with Jesus. That is the invitation to be with Jesus. That sounds good, right? You want that? I want that. To live every moment aware of and grounded in the real presence of Jesus everywhere we go. That sounds amazing. And for most of us, our daily experience is something other than every moment conscious awareness of the presence of God. Many of us struggle to regularly experience the peace that comes in being in the presence of Jesus. So I want to just take a couple minutes to talk about some reasons why I think it's hard for us to be with Jesus. Why, even though we know it is so good to be in God's presence, we struggle to do it. There are surely more obstacles than the four I'm going to name, but I just want to briefly talk about four things that I think make it hard for us to regularly experience the peaceful presence of Jesus in our lives. The first force that's working against our practice of being in the presence of Jesus is our schedule. This does not surprise you, right? We are so busy. So was Martha. Luke 10 says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Martha had a lot to do. She had a long task list. And friends, we live in a culture that sees full calendars as evidence of importance. We keep our kids busy in school and extracurriculars. We fill our calendars with meeting and volunteering and church stuff because it makes us feel important to have some place to be. And add that to the constant distraction of our phones, and most of us will spend most of our day running hectically from one thing to the next. Where in all of this could we possibly meet Jesus? Our schedules make it hard for us to be with Jesus. The second thing I see working against us being with Jesus is our fear of being unwelcome. Our fear of being unwelcome. Some of us honestly aren't quite sure how we'll be received by Jesus. Maybe we grew up hearing about a God who was mad at us for our sin, or a God who was kind of like that unhealthy parent who, when you go visit them, they spend the whole time talking about how you don't come visit enough, right? You all know. I hear those laughters. Okay. Some of us are just honestly afraid that when we do go to God, we won't be welcomed. We're afraid that when we go to God, maybe he won't really want to see us, that maybe he's just annoyed with us. Mary must have experienced some of that fear. because according to the societal rules of her day, she didn't belong at Jesus' feet. Sitting at the feet of the rabbi was a place for disciples, who in Mary's day were all men. Women were not invited to be disciples of a rabbi. Mary's proper place was to be helping Martha cook and clean and host the men. I think our fear sometimes is an obstacle for us in spending time with Jesus. The third thing that keeps some of us from being with Jesus might be that we don't know how. We don't know how to be with Jesus. We don't know how to pray, how we're supposed to read the Bible. We're not sure of the method. We don't know how to hear from God. Maybe you've heard people talk about hearing God speak, but you have no idea. How do you hear God speak? Is there like an audible voice from the heavens? Is he still showing up in, you know, burning bushes like he did with Moses? We don't know how. We're looking for the right way. We don't want to do it wrong. The fourth thing that presents an obstacle to being with Jesus is, I think, the most important one for us to understand and grapple with. Spiritual forces are at work against us being with Jesus. Spiritual forces are at work against us being with Jesus. The Bible speaks of a spiritual realm, a battle that is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. The book of 1 Peter speaks of an enemy called the devil who is prowling around looking for someone to devour. The witness of Scripture tells us that there is someone who doesn't want us to be with Jesus. Satan's goal is to keep people from the presence of God. Satan showed up in the Garden of Eden to disrupt the relationship between Adam and Eve and God. And that has continued to be his primary goal. Listen. Satan knows the most important, the most powerful thing you can do is spend more time in conscious awareness of God's presence with you. And he will not pull any punches in trying to get between you and time with the Creator. He will happily work at keeping you busy in your schedule. He will happily whisper lies about who you are and how God feels about you to keep you from Jesus. He will tell you you're not worthy or you're not doing it right to keep you from Jesus. Have you ever experienced any of these things? The pull of the schedule, a feeling of being too busy to slow down and just be with God. A sense of distraction maybe when you do try to sit and pray or try to read God's word. Do you ever have that? A fear of being unwanted because of, you know, what you've done or who you think you are. A fear that God will receive you just with guilt that you haven't been with him enough. A sense of maybe being stalled from spending time with Jesus because you don't know the right way. There is an enemy who would love nothing more than to stop you from experiencing the peace and joy and hope and love that comes with the presence of God. If you've experienced any of those things, like me, if like me, you've struggled to keep your mind on Jesus and to live every moment in his presence, if you have ever felt too distracted or too busy to spend time with Jesus, I want to close with just offering two quick words of encouragement for you. Two things we can do in the face of all of those forces working against our experience of the peace of God's presence. Two things. Ask Jesus for help and start somewhere. Ask Jesus for help. Start with something. Ask Jesus for help. Martha got this right. In verse 40, Luke 10 says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. So she came to him, Jesus, and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Listen, far from being a story where one sister did the right thing and one sister did the wrong thing, this is a story of two women who knew where to go. Two women who were both seeking Jesus. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, drinking in his presence. Martha was worried, distracted, and overwhelmed by everything she had to do. She found herself blaming her sister, frustrated that she was carrying the entire burden of hosting on her own. And what did she do? exactly the right thing. Exactly the right thing. She went to Jesus. She asked Jesus for help. His help maybe didn't look like what she was expecting. She went to him with kind of a bad attitude. She blamed her sister and hoped Jesus would tell Mary, get off your booty and help. But Martha's instinct was right on. Jesus, help. Jesus, help. When Martha was overwhelmed by her schedule, frustrated, irritated, recognizing her heart wasn't in the right place, she went to Jesus. And friends, that's what we can do too. When we are overwhelmed with our schedule, frustrated by our lack of focus, wishing we could focus more on Jesus and less on our tasks, afraid we won't be received, afraid we're doing it the wrong way, we can go right to Jesus and ask for help. Something like, Jesus, I know that a life lived in the constant awareness of your presence and peace would be so much better for me. I know that prayer and solitude really is the best use of my time. I know that you love me and that you want me. My task list is shouting really loud. My anxiety about doing this the wrong way is just spiking. I feel like maybe you're not going to want me. Help! Help! Go to Jesus and ask for help. Go to Jesus. God promises over and over that when we seek him, we will find him. That he is ready to answer our prayers before we even open our mouths to speak our prayers. So ask for God's help and wait and see what he does. Wait and see what he says. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or really only one. Mary's chosen what's better, and it won't be taken from her. These two women both went to Jesus. Martha didn't really know what she needed. Mary was probably feeling a little attacked. And Jesus helped them both. He lovingly told Martha, listen, you don't need to worry about all the things you're worrying about. I know that society tells you that hosting has to look a certain way. I know that you're busy out of love. But Martha, you are loved without needing to do a thing for me. You are just loved. You don't need to perform. Take a breath. Slow down. And Mary, you don't need to get up and do anything else. You belong there. I'll protect your right to be here. The most important thing you can do, you're already doing, sitting in my presence. When you call to Jesus for help, he will answer. It might be by just reminding you of his presence in the midst of your busyness. Or it might be by showing you where your activity is really just propelled by anxiety. And maybe you need to quit some things and rest. If you want more of Jesus in your life and you're struggling to do that, ask Jesus for help. And then start somewhere. Do something. Being with Jesus, building this constant awareness of God's presence. It's like anything else we learn. It's a skill. It takes practice. There's a great little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And it collects the teachings of a monk called Brother Lawrence who lived in the 1600s. In the book, he talks about how he worked throughout his life to develop more of an awareness of God's presence. How he worked to build a habit of remembering that God was with him, that God loved him. He worked at this while he would sweep the floor. God, help me be aware of your love for me. While he would do the dishes, God, help me be aware of your love for me. He asked God to help him be more aware constantly of God's presence so that by the end of his life, he said something to the effect of that he is just as much in God's presence doing the dishes as he is partaking of the Holy Sacrament. Our goal, right, is to become more conscious of God's presence with us in every moment. And we're all in different places on that journey towards that goal. Our personalities and preferences are different. What helps me might not help you. That's okay. Maybe for some of you, it'd be helpful to download a Bible app like YouVersion. The YouVersion Bible app has a verse of the day. Maybe that's something you could do. There's a verse, there's a short video, there's some questions for thought and prayer. Maybe that's a new way you can make space to experience a little more of Jesus in your life. Maybe you'd find it helpful to set an alarm to remind you to pause and pray. Like Katie said, she's going to set her alarm for Wednesday prayer. Maybe you can do that this week. Set an alarm to remind you to pause. Maybe it would help you to tie your prayer time to another habit you have, like brushing your teeth or making dinner. Maybe a piece of jewelry or a post-it in a visible spot would help you to remember throughout the day that God is with you. The goal of apprentices of Jesus is to be more and more aware of his presence, more and more consciously with Jesus every day. If that's what you want, ask Jesus for help and start somewhere. Some of you know Pam Moran here at Harbor, who leads our women's ministry. Pam has been in a long season of caring for her parents as their health fails. Over the last year, but especially in the past 6 weeks, Pam has been on repeated trips with her parents to the emergency room, back to rehab, back to their house, back to the hospital. It has been one crisis after another. But if you were to ask Pam how she's doing, how she, you know, with everything she's carrying, she will tell you, "It is well with my soul. It's well with my soul." She'll tell you that she is experiencing crazy amounts of peace. Despite the chaos, despite going from crisis to crisis, her heart is at rest. That's because Pam, for a long time, has been practicing being in the presence of Jesus. She's practiced for a long time, she told me this week, holding up her life and her plans with open hands to Jesus. So each time she gets a call that one of her parents has had another issue, another fall, she's able to say, "Okay, God, here we go." She'll tell you, of course she cries. Of course it's hard. But underneath all of that, she is experiencing a deep peace that God is holding her parents in his hands, and he'll figure out what they need. And so our friend Pam is in rehab facilities and hospital rooms and her parents' home, bringing the peace of God with her everywhere she goes. Pam's on a mission. She's not only supporting her parents right now. Pam is introducing every caregiver, every doctor, every nurse, every aide to a God who loves them. Because Pam brings Jesus with her everywhere she goes. That's what happens when we begin to live more and more of our lives in the conscious awareness of the presence of Jesus. We experience more peace. And then we help others experience more peace, because life with Jesus leads to peace. So today, this week, what is one step you could take to choose to spend just a little more of your time in the conscious awareness of Jesus' presence? The grace of God is that he is with us all the time, whether we recognize it or not. His presence never fades. But how will you this week choose to recognize God's presence with you? Maybe you need to continue working on the challenge that we received in our journey groups this week that we talked about last Sunday of setting aside some small amount of time every single day to be with Jesus. Maybe last week you did that twice and this week you're going to do it three times. How can you take one more step to have just a little more time in the presence of God? Jesus is extending an invitation to be with him. You are always wanted. You are always welcome. You can't do it wrong. Jesus is inviting you to his presence. All you have to do is accept the invitation. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that your posture towards us is always, yes. Your posture towards us is always, I love you. You always want us. You always are happy to see us, happy to hear from us. Thank you that being in your presence brings us peace. Jesus, you know all of the many things that make it hard for us to stay constantly attuned to your presence, make it hard for us to, as 1 Thessalonians says, pray continually. You know all those things. And so we're asking as a community for your help. Help us grow in our awareness of your presence. Help us grow in our practice of your presence. Help us be people that stay with you, that make you the very center of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.